spoiler, this movie is an allegory, clearly, for grief.
What?
You're listening to We Die First, a podcast for black horror fans by black horror fans.
Spooky Squad.
What's up, Spooky Squad?
That was nice.
Yeah, that was pleasant. It's a pleasant Sunday. We're recording on a Sunday. It's a pleasant Sunday.
It is a pleasant Sunday. I went for a nice little walk this morning.
Ooh, I went for a nice little watched this movie we're going to talk about.
I also watched it this morning. I feel like I've done a lot in a very short period of time.
My best friend and best man was like, hey, can I call you and can we talk about like bachelor party wedding things? I was like, yeah, for sure. He's like, can I call you at like 10 in the morning? I was like, yeah, for sure. And my dumb ass forgot that I was like, I'm gonna be wholly in the middle of watching this movie. So I'm like watching this movie, I'm in it, and then he calls me and I'm like, okay. And then we talk about, you know, like fun things and shit, and then I go back to it. I was like, oh wow, I was like, the vibe has changed.
Are you, how is wedding planning going? Speaking of which,
all the big things are done. There will be a location for people to go to. There will be food and drink for them to ingest, and there will be song. So it's truly just like the nitty gritty minutia shit, like logging onto our photographer's portal and being like, where do I need to be at every hour of the time allotment you have me for? And I'm just like, oh God, this is annoying.
Wow. But no, good on you for getting all those big things out of the way. I mean, you guys are 6 months out, so that's actually very impressive.
I can't. Again, I don't know if I've ever said this to you or on this podcast, but everyone, you know, likes to give shit in a very gendered way, and they're like, how crazed is Alana? How much is, you know, like, she's the one doing all the planning? And I'm like, no, I am every gender role in this relationship. I'm the only one planning the wedding. I cook, I clean, I make the most money, I drive the car when we go. I'm like, I am all the gender roles.
I am every woman and man.
Yeah, and everything in between.
And everything in between.
Yeah. But it's gotten to the point where, you know, like our, like her bridesmaids and my grooms, well, like her bride's people and my groom's people, they're like, what are we wearing? And it's like, oh, fuck, we should figure that out.
Yes, definitely. Do you guys think you're going to go for like everyone's going to be wearing the same thing or just the same color or what?
See, and that, like, it started off where like, this is the color palette, just be in that palette. And then I'm like, yeah, that's great. But then I'm like, well, are you going to have your people match? She was like, I wasn't. I was like, okay, well, then if I do, then your side needs to match, or it just looks weird.
Right.
And then, so now we're just like, okay, so are people matching? And I'm like, oh, I was like, we just need to sit down and talk about it. Because it's always like in passing, like we're both going to like a gig or something. It's like, hey, with this thing, we're like, yeah, we should talk about it. And then we'll be like, oh shit, 4 months went past when we said we would talk about it. And we just haven't. So,
yeah. Yeah. Wedding planning can be hectic, but, again, as a vet, don't let it consume you. Don't let it consume you.
Oh God. Yeah. shut up. I go through two very, it's only pendulum swing emotions of people, like my friends that are married, and like when we talk about it, it's the like, shut the fuck up. It's like, it's like this isn't my first rodeo, get it, because I'm married. I'm like, shut up. But then there are other times when I'm just like, what am I forgetting? You've done this.
And I don't say that in a smug way. I say that as a reminder of like, hey, like, you know, you're gonna freak out about this thing. The day's gonna happen and it's gonna be great.
Yeah.
And all that minutia, you're it's like not gonna matter. Like,
truly. Yeah. Truly, truly.
Yeah.
But yeah. How are you? You had a great Sunday walk, a great Sunday viewing.
Yeah, I've had a nice little morning so far. Went for a walk, picked up some stuff from Walgreens, got myself a cinnamon roll.
Hell yeah.
And a chai latte from my favorite little cafe.
At Starbucks, you might have heard of it.
No, absolutely not. no, it's a little local place. And then I'm going to ballet later.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can't see me, but I'm dressed to go. I feel like I'm not going full ballet core.
I was going to say, are you like tights and a tutu, or are you just a leotard with a baggy sweater on top?
I'm going like that, like the latter. Kind of like more like experience, like, oh, I used to dance, but I had an injury, but now I'm back. And that's like the vibe I'm trying to give off. None of that's happened to me, but like, that's what I'm trying to like give. It's like, oh, yes, I've been here before, but
I've chorus blind. Yeah.
Yes. They told me I would never dance again, but I'm defying all odds and still showing up here to gain back my strength. So that's what I'm doing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, and tonight's the Oscars, so I'm going to actually watch that.
Aw, nice.
I normally don't, because I'm just like, award shows are just like so boring lately. Like, they're not as good as they used to be, but I'm like, I might check in, because I actually watched quite a few of the nominees, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to like check it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wholly forgot that was happening today.
Yeah.
I'm just not a big awards boy.
That's fair.
That knows, I'm gonna, and I know there's no shame in knowing who you are. Like, I think the type of things I would like to do in my career, still never gonna win an Oscar for these things, you know?
I don't know,
Grammys, maybe.
I mean, we've already established that you're gonna be an EGOT for just hanging out.
That's true. Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm going to get the Oscar for good vibes on set.
Yeah.
Never mind. Maybe I should tune into the Oscars just to see what my future competition might be.
No, I think that's a really good idea. Speaking of good vibes, not a single one exists in this movie.
Yeah. Nice segue. I was wondering where this was, like, how are we going to get into this? We're talking about some nice, happy shit.
Right. Bad vibes only.
Not this movie.
But I would say a happy ending at the end.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. We watched Babadook as the Babadook. I'm sorry, not Babadook. Like he's
Oprah. We watched Babadook. We're on a first name basis.
Bob. Hey, Dookie.
Yeah.
Yeah. As part
he
of...
He hated when I called him that in grade school.
Dookie. Dukes, yeah. You know, you name your kids what you're going to name them, but their friends will give them the name they're going to really carry for the rest of their lives. So just keep that in mind. But as part of March Madness and hitting up these psychological horror films, we decided to do The Babadook from 2014. It is Australian. I thought it was... Why did I think it was a Kiwi film for so long? It's not. It's Australian.
I don't know.
Everything about, I guess it's so
aware that it was Australian.
It was so gray. It just felt like New Zealand. But anyway, it's an Australian film directed by Jennifer Kent, starring Essie Davis, Noah Weissman, Hayley McElhenney, and Daniel Henshaw. And it's about a widow and her son who are kind of going through it when they start to be visited by this very spooky entity known as the Babadook.
So spooky. I forgot that I really like this movie.
It's so good.
And it's just more of like, I don't think about it often. And I'm just like, yeah, God, what a good movie. Good film.
It's a solid movie. It's so this is the only one from this month that I've seen before. But I haven't seen it in a couple of years, so it was really nice to revisit it. And just, like, it's really beautiful. Like, it's very beautifully shot. The acting in it is amazing. Essie Davis really kills it. Noah Weissman, who plays her son, Samuel, really kills it.
Crush.
I love the set design. Yeah, it's really great.
Oh, yeah.
It's very cool.
I very much, you know me and my... sometimes hatred of just children screaming in movies, as realistic as it is, you know, like, or could be, I'll still be like, God, I don't like hearing it. And this is a very child screamy movie, but I was like, he fucking crushes.
He crushes it.
And he's like such...
I was worried for him a few times. Yeah. I was like, is he okay?
He's not okay. Spoiler alert. He's a My Chemical Romance song, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a fantastic movie. I like, for the kid actor, I like that the child behaves like a child.
Yeah, exactly.
He's very realistic. He's annoying. He is. Quite frankly, he is a bit annoying. But like, in like, yeah, he's a child. He's a kid.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not weird annoying. Like, if he was very, like... studio, like, it clearly dialogue written for an adult but then just said by a child, I would have been so angry.
Yeah, no, everything, it's so well written. It's written like a child. His actions are a childlike. It's a lot. I wonder, so Jennifer Kent also wrote this. I wonder if she's a parent or has worked extensively with children in the past, just because it is so like well done. I'm like, I feel like you have been around kids and you're good at showing that.
Right. She's yeah. Like, I just told my kids to speak as they speak. And I was like, that was 90% of the dialogue.
Her like 5-year-old has like a writing credit on this.
Truly.
Yeah. But if you're ready, we can get into it.
I've never been more ready.
Let's do it. So in our first scene, we have we're introduced to Amelia, and she's having this like dream, and the movie is really good at kind of giving this vibe of like it's very dreamlike, it's very like dark fairy tale kind of, which is I think was amazing. It's giving like German expressionism, like it's a lot of cool shit going on in this. I'm just going to gush about it for most of this podcast, but like this episode, which is like, it's so cool. But she has this like freaky dream where she's like kind of like a car accident or something. And she like floats down to her bed, which I thought was like pretty cool. But we find out that basically she's widowed. Her husband, Oscar, died about 7 years ago, driving her to the hospital while she was in labor. So the day of her son's birthday is also the day of her husband's death. And it's very clear that like
not over it,
not over it
in the slightest. Yeah,
no, she's not moved down. She tells us she's moved on. I'm like, baby girl,
it's like, especially, you know, like, cause like we're 10 years out from that movie. Right. So it's like, and I feel like that movie came out at the cusp of like the huge shift of like, guys, like mental health, come on now. And now it's like such a push, like, in society. So it's just, you're watching and it's like, yeah, I handle it. I never mention him. I don't talk about him. I handled it. And you're like, oh, ha, no.
Yeah, it's like, babe, you need to like hit up BetterHelp or something. I don't know. We are not affiliated, but you need a therapist.
We talk about feelings a lot on this podcast. We should be sponsored.
Honestly, yeah. I'm like, get you a therapist, mama. Like, it's not good for you. Like, Jennifer Kent establishes this tension so well, because like immediately we're like, okay, boom, the son has trouble sleeping. He's obsessed with monsters. Boom. She like reads him a book. He doesn't want to go to sleep. When he does, he's like all over her. He's gritting his teeth. He's like pulling her hair while she's sleeping. Like she's fully just like, you see just like how difficult her situation is. It's like, right. You know, very clearly a mother who loves her child and is trying to raise him, but it's like she is just at her wit's end and really at the edge. And it's just really, this is a great movie for parents.
I know.
I feel like it's this very is, empathetic to just the struggle of being a parent.
This honestly is your soft spot too. We know how you love a single mom story.
I do love a single mom story. And, I think as compared to the ones we've seen before, what we've done, The Sixth Sense, we've done a few others where it's like, oh, child who has behavioral issues and the parent is struggling. I feel like this is probably the better.
Well, like, yeah, because, you know, he's like
realistic portrayal of what that looks like.
He's having fucking trouble in school. And then it's good to know also that Australians have a shitty education system, too. So handle yeah. that. But, you know, it's just like, it's just like, oh, we need to give him, like, he needs to have a monitor full time. Like, he needs to be, like, almost, like, segregated from the general population of this school. And she's like, he already feels isolated. It's like, this is awful. And it's like, the boy. And it's like, Sam, use his name. And I was like, yeah, advocate for your kid.
Yeah, like, the boy. She's like, his name is Samuel.
I'm excited for, is this going to be another famous Sonic accent work episode?
A little bit. Nothing in my hands, nothing in my hands.
I was like, of course this kid is also into fucking magic. I'm like, he's it's like, he is, they're really hitting it. It's like, we get it. He's a weird kid.
He's a weird kid, but he's going to make a fun adult.
Oh, God, I hope so.
He's going to make a fun adult. Like, that's, you know, weird kids oftentimes create fun adults. So, you know, yeah, he's into magic. He's obsessed with monsters. He keeps, like, he builds these, like, DIY, like, weaponry.
Yeah. Mom, surprising. I mean, she's, like, not chill. But, like, what 6-year-old, like, he built a catapult backpack.
I know.
He has woodworking skills at, like, fucking 6 years old.
But, like, medieval woodworking skills.
Yeah.
It's like... It's like, what the fuck? Like, get this kid to MIT. Like, he's like a little engineer. It's actually pretty impressive. But, you know, she takes him out of school at this point because he's like, he's brought like weapons to school. He almost like took some kid's eye out. Like, you know, can't be happening. She's also struggling with her sister who also has a daughter. So the daughter's about the same age and typically, the cousin and Samuel share a birthday. But now, you know, little girl's getting older. She's like, she wants to have her own birthday separate from Samuel. And, you know, it's kind of awkward. And it's very clear that from the aunt's point of view that, like, you know, she doesn't like Samuel. It's very obvious that, like, she doesn't like Samuel. She's also kind of, like, fed up with her sister a bit and isn't very – I think it's complicated because it's like – it has been 7 years. So it's yeah. like, I get, like, you know, there is that like empathy of like, yeah, she's gone through a lot, but then it's also like, oh, it's been 7 years. Like, you really do need to start moving past this or moving forward. But her sister's also not very compassionate either.
Yeah.
To her plight. But one night they decide, you know, she typically reads Samuel a book before bed, as you often do. And he picks a book out from their bookcase, and it's this red bound like pop-up book called Mr. Babadook that she's never seen before
and is so chill. For it's not even just a book that like was like near the mail slot, it was in the bookshelf.
Yeah, like it always been there. And she's like, where'd you get this from? And he's like, it was from the bookshelf. Like, I don't know, like,
yeah, you tell me. Jesus Christ,
you bought it. Like, yeah. I don't know, you're the adult, like, don't ask me where I got anything. Anything I have is because you gave it to me. Like little firecrackers. I'm like, yeah, you.
What? Where'd you get this? Well, that's the end of the internet. Like, they were just like random, that real, like dumb parent dialogue. And I was like, yeah.
And like she says that, and he like harumphs. He's like, hmm. Yeah.
That kid. I just looked him up. He was born in 2008. So, I mean, the movie came out in 2014, had to have been shot in 2013-ish, right? So I'm like, he was 5?
Damn.
5, 6? I was like, that's impressive.
So he was really good. Like, very talented. I hope he's still acting. Like,
so then when I'm in a fucking show with these adults, why the fuck can't you learn your 2-minute sketch scene?
Damn.
I'm like, this 5-year-old memorizing whole movies.
I mean, yeah, get the fuck off book. Get the fuck off Mr. Baba book.
Yeah, there we go.
See that? See what I did there? So she starts reading this book, and it's about this monster called the Babadook. And it's like a rhyming kind of pop-up book. I used to love pop-up books when I was little. Those are so fun.
Yeah, that I think more adults, we need more adult pop-up books. Not adult content pop-up books, but you're like reading fucking the Iliad and it's a pop-up book.
I'm glad you said that because, you know, an adult pop-up book is just a lot of
just a lot of penises.
Wieners. just
honestly, the wieners. easiest pop-up book to make, I think. And every other page is just, and then an erection. A lot of rhyming words with erection.
Yeah, unfortunately. It's a pop-up book. I'm trying to think of this one I used to like. I'm having like a very vague memory of a pop-up book I grew up loving. But yeah, you know, kids love pop-up books. Also, just a quick aside, we asked our listeners what was like a toy or a game they used to love. And we did get one from Professor AJL. Professor JAJL, who said that they had a dollhouse that they adored growing up, but they were also a big plushie and Pokemon kid. So, like, they never had dolls in the house. They just had their plushies and Pokemon, like, in there, which I think is sick.
Nice.
That's sick. That's very sick. That reminds me, when I was a kid, at one point I lost my one Ken doll. I found him again, but I lost him for a long time. So whenever I wanted to play, like, have a boy, I had this one mermaid Barbie who was just, like, really tall because of her tail. And she just, like, stood in for the guy. And I was like, because boys are tall. And I was like, so this has to be the boy. And she was, like, topless.
I like the things. I like the things we latch on to. Yeah. This is tall-ass Kevin. This is a random aside.
Tits.
Like, this is not related to that question or anything, but just height and childhood perceptions of what height is. You remember, God, what is that fucking group? City High, is that the name?
City High.
Anyway, they had that one song. It was like, it's about like being like an independent woman, but part of the chorus is 5'5 with brown eyes, a smile like the sunrise. And whatever age I was when that song came out, I was young enough that I was like, 5'5? This woman is a giant.
Oh, I remember that song.
Yeah, good
five,
song.
5'5 with brown eyes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a huge woman.
Okay, so small aside, and we'll get back into it. That reminds me of this episode of This American Life where they were talking about like kid logic. And the host had told this story about how he had taken his daughter on her first flight when she's like 5 or something. And she's on the plane, they take off, and she asks, like, when do we get smaller? And he was like, what? And it's because she had no sense of like depth perception. She sees planes and they're tiny and she doesn't know it's because they're far away. She assumed that when you got on a plane, you just like shrunk at some point. And that's why, like, planes look small. And I was like, honestly, that's, like, really salient logic. Like, fair. Like, if you just don't know that.
That's adorable.
Like, yeah, that makes sense. You're like, yeah, we just get little. Like, that's just what happens.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyway, yeah. Huh. I love when kids explain shit like that. And it's like, that actually does make sense. Like, in your little kid brain. But anyway, she reads this book. And it's about this monster. And he's, like, this scary, tall, kind of Slenderman motherfucker with like a top hat and talon fingers.
Yeah.
And he
it's a pretty chill book for a minute. Yeah, it's pretty chill until it's not.
Yeah, it's like and of course Samuel is freaked the fuck out because it's like there's a little boy in the story. He's like, is the little boy okay? Like, does, like, what the, like, we need to finish this
he
story.
Is
like,
what so happened? Concerned. Yeah, he figures that out quick.
Yeah, so he's like freaking out. And she's also freaked out by the book. It's quite disturbing. But she's like, you know, it's fine, you know, go to bed. And he starts to feel like, he's like, no, like the Babadook is real. Like he starts to basically become very obsessed about this
monster. Kids are like dogs, man. They sense that storm a cool 10 minutes before you do.
Like the dog Bugsy, who also was kind of like, things are weird.
Oh, yeah, Bugsy. Poor Bugsy.
R.I.P. Bugsy. You're so cute. Yeah, so, but now Sam thinks the Babadook is real. And there starts to be, like, a few series of strange experiences. For example, they're having dinner, and there's, like, glass in their food for some reason. She thinks that it's Sam, but Sam's like, it's the Babadook. And she's like, oh, no, buddy, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. We get that. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just like, that was a dumb, funny moment, too. Because that, I don't know, just for some reason, I laughed so hard when it was like, she found the glass in her soup, and then she was like, go in the living room and watch a DVD. And I'm like, what a phrase to be uttered. Like, even maybe now, that would not make sense to a kid, but in, like, 10 years, Like, go watch a DVD. That's going to be an insane phrase to think about.
I know. Yeah, I can't remember the last time I watched a DVD.
Yeah, don't know.
I have them, but like the same DVDs I have are also on like Prime.
Yeah,
I watch them. So, the death of physical media.
I know.
So sad. Speaking of death, I feel like we have to touch on just like the issues with like the dad, right? So obviously he's died, but aside from her not getting over this death, she's also very actively like
withholding
of him, like almost like, well, he's mine.
He screams. He screams at her. It's like, you don't let me have a dad, and I'm like, holy shit, yeah, you don't.
Yeah, and he's like, he's my dad too. Like, bitch, I know you lost your husband, but like, he's literally my father. Like,
yeah,
let me look at his stuff. Like, let me pretend that I'm doing magic for my dad. Like, I'm like, it's very.
Yeah,
it's very sad, but very real.
He sneaks into the basement where all his dad shit is that's just been sitting there collecting dust. And it's, we see a ton of sheet music, and we see, so I was like, oh, is he like he's obviously a musician. I was like, is he a jazz musician? Because he has like a fucking fedora, but there's a violin. Is he a jazz fiddler? I was really hung up on the fact that there's no way he could be a classical violinist, but also be like, oh, and also fedora is a cool,
right? He's like into like gypsy jazz.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I can say that anymore. Like,
I don't know,
jazz? I don't know,
but it's not Romani there, jazz, like, man. It's not
it isn't really like
I don't know,
g-word g-slur jazz.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I get it, right? I'm not of that. And, you know, like, I studied. I'm like, yeah, gypsy jazz, blah, blah, blah. Like, Django Reinhardt, he is fucking gypsy jazz. But if there was a subset called, like nigga jazz, I'd be like, you gonna say it?
Nigga jazz is just jazz.
Just jazz, true. Yeah, it's implied. The N-word is implied.
The N is silent. But yeah, no, she's fully withholding, and like, you know, he just wants to go down and like look at his dad's stuff, and just like, it's all he has of his father. And man, she's just like,
truly,
stay out of the basement, dude, Samuel.
Well, fucking Chucky from Rugrats, famously dead mom, and he can't even speak yet, and then his dad's like, I need to show you pictures of your mom.
Yeah,
heartwarming episode. Go watch it if you haven't, Spooky Squad.
I know, that's that. Man, those fucking Nickelodeon shows were doing a lot, like in a great way, but just fuck. Like, why are you telling him? Why are you letting me know at 4 my mom can die? Like, why would you tell me that?
Do you fucking remember? Did you ever watch? Okay, sorry. One last tangent of Nickelodeon. Did you ever watch Hey Arnold? And it was like the episode when he was like fleeing Vietnam,
Mr. Nguyen.
Yeah,
remember that shit? I had to learn about the last flight out of Saigon at 6. That is too young. That is too young to know about that. I mean, Mr. Wynn's daughter was very young when she learned about it too. But still, I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. And so there's that. And of course, this comes up again because now it's the birthday party of Sam's cousin, who is not very nice to him. And we kind of get this like juxtaposition of Amelia with like these mothers who are all just very snooty, and like they're stay-at-home moms, their husbands work, and one of them calls her disadvantaged.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? I would have been livid. I would have snapped immediately. There wouldn't have been like a little pause and being like, no, I'm angry and I'm gonna say something.
No, I like that she snapped back though. She was like, oh, poor you. Oh, you can't work out.
Like, yeah,
my son is hallucinating monsters and my husband's dead, okay? And I work a really shitty job in an old folks' home. Like, my life sucks. And then, so Sam's cousin bullies him about not having a dad. And he's like, your dad died because he didn't want to be with you. She's
what a very, like,
vile.
Yeah.
That's very young to be, like, saying, like, what is being said in the house when.
Oh, truly.
Like, my mom. Because which, like, what the fuck?
Leads into your point, too. It's like the sister is, like, trying to be, like, a good sister. But it's also, I'm like, kind of a shit. She's not a good person.
A bitch. And like Samuel pushes her ass out of that treehouse. Yeah. Honestly, like, same. Like,
and she lands. I was like, you didn't even think to brace your arms, which would have been bad. You would have broken your wrist. But she just full face planted from like 20 feet up. And I'm like,
listen, get your hands up, dog. I don't know what to tell you.
Like, this is why, yeah, it's like we need to teach kids how to tuck and roll from a very early age.
Right. Yeah, you know, you can't be putting your hands on people, but I get where Sam.
Oh, yeah. And it's just like,
if someone told that to me today, I probably would push out the window. Like, yeah.
What'd you do? She kept saying I didn't have a dad, and she just kept saying it. I was like, yeah, for sure. You earned
she
that.
She did. We were witness to it. She did say that.
Yeah, that's I backed him up.
Right. I was like, I was on Sam's side. Like, yeah. He's mostly, you know, reacts things wrong. Like, this is one time where I'm like, no, actually, he's correct. Like, that's a fair reaction. So, they you know, leave or whatever. And on their way home, Sam sees the Babadook. We don't see the Babadook. We still haven't really seen it. And he has like a full seizure. She takes him to the hospital and they're just like, yeah, like, you know, it was his brain overheated. I'm like, is that a thing?
Yeah. What a phrase to say to someone as if that's going to calm me down. Brain, that also doesn't sound great.
Right. I feel like your brain should be at an ambient temperature at all times.
Truly.
But the doctor gives her and Sam some sedatives because, like, they have not been sleeping. And he's like, sure. But he's also kind of like, do we have, like, a Munchausen by proxy situation? Like, he's definitely asleep.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give it to you for a week. And that is it. Also, there's, like, this whole side quest where she has this, like...
This whole side quest.
Where she has this, like, guy at her job who, like... Who clearly is in a different movie. Like, in his head, I think
it's a rom-com.
He's like a 500 Days of Summer. Like, oh, like, my quirky work friend. Until he goes to the house and he's like, oh, this is a different movie. Like, yeah. You never see him again.
I know.
He's like,
I know, too. Because it also, like, he was just such a nice guy. Like, truly, like, trying to help out the kid. And I was just like. he goes, that's like when they have this screaming match. It's like she won't let me have a dad, blah 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 blah. And he's like, I'm not here for this. I'll see you at work.
Like, boy leaves and we never see him again. It's like, there's a lot going on here. I thought it was hilarious. But so now she's come home and she like rips up the book. She's getting rid of it. She's like, we're not doing this Babadook shit. But
oh, yeah.
The next morning, she finds that the book has been put back together. And now there's more story.
This book is angry. it's a very angry book.
It's like, bitch, what the fuck? I like that. This is like a small detail. I feel like in a lesser movie, when she found the book again, it'd be perfectly like unscathed. Yeah. I like that it was still ripped up, but like. But the Babadook put it together.
Yeah.
Some, like, masking tape.
Because that also, like, helped. I mean, this happens later when she goes to the cops. But, you know, it made it also seem more like a person did it. It wasn't, like, a supernatural entity, which it still is. But it's, like, because the thing was saying, hey, the fucking, like, a stalker is coming. Like, a stalker is doing this to me and my kid. And it's, like. They put the book back together because they're unhinged. But what'd you do? Oh, I set it on fire in a Weber grill.
And he's like, well, no evidence. Sorry. But like, there's more pages to it too. And saying like, hey, like the more you don't believe in me, the stronger I get. And also I'm going to enter you. And also you're going to kill your dog. And also your son. And also yourself. Hat trick.
Yeah. This book is, not only is this book coming back from the dead, it is prophesizing.
Right. So, like, you know, she burns it because it's the police station. They don't help her, of course, because cops don't help anybody. So she kind of just has to go back home. And is this when she has that unfortunate scene where she's flicking her bean and then... At some point, there is a scene where she's masturbating and Samuel. Like,
that happens earlier, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm just like I would have. She can't catch a break, literally. Yeah, because, like, after the fucking. After the brain heating, overheating, again, a thing that is normal in Australia and we should not worry about, she's like, can I just can I get something to make him sleep through the night? And I'm just trying to fucking get off, make him sleep. And he's like, here, yeah, it's like, here are some low-level horse tranquilizers. They didn't say horse tranquilizers. They're tranquilizers, but it's more funny to say that.
Yeah, the thing that Sam's like, yeah, fully just like, she like, well, you know, it's Australia, so it's not even a pill. It's like a dart. Like a poison dart. She's like, takes him out.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Shoot her. And then, like, he just,
yeah. She starts, like, you know, so she's possessed by the Babadook, and now she's seeing things, and one of the things is cockroaches?
Yeah. I'm like, girl, you're just dirty. It's like, she finds cockroaches, and, like social services comes by, and she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was just
Australian CPS. Ugh.
Yeah, and they're, like, just, like, they're not good at their job.
They're not, because any good service agent would have taken that kid immediately. It's like, yeah, sorry, there's this huge hole behind the fridge. I mean, hole in the wallpaper. It's like, all right, you are unwell. And she also,
Sam comes in,
is looking.
He's like, I'm tired because all the drugs mommy gave me. It's like,
tranquilizers, tranquilizers, not drugs. Different, prescribed by a doctor. If someone had to say that to me, I'm like, I don't think it was a doctor, even if it was. Yeah, these people are not good at their job.
Yeah, there's like, we'll be back. And just leave.
Yeah, like with a court order. Like, and also, she looks, and this is a good part of the movie too, like she starts off not looking great. Like she's clearly just 6 years of being miserable and not actually working through trauma. And so she doesn't look good, but she is unhinged looking by this point in the movie. Like, she doesn't look well.
No, and she's not sleeping. She looks very erratic. I already can tell you, if this is a black film, they would have taken Samuel from the home immediately.
Yep, that already did. Okay. That's it, Spooky Squad.
That's it. They would have been taken out of the house. Like,
they would have, the first act. It would have just been like, your kid is having behavioral issues. It's your fault, so we're going to take him.
And he would have been diagnosed with, like, oppositional defiant disorder, which, right, is disproportionately diagnosed to black boys as opposed to, like, the more common, like, ADHD with white boys. Mm-hmm. So they would have also diagnosed him with a disorder that's essentially like, you'll never be cured of this, by the way. Like, you're just going to be a criminal one day, just so you know. Like, I'm like, cool, thanks, he's six. Anyway, I have feelings about these things. So yeah, she's not doing well. At one point, there's an old lady who lives next door.
So nice.
Who Samuel sometimes goes to. And at one point he's like, okay, like, he's clearly like, my mom's not doing well. He's like, should we call her up and maybe stay over there? I don't think we should stay at this house tonight. And she like gets a knife. She cuts the phone line. She locks up the door. She's like, no.
Yeah, absolutely not.
She has a hallucination where she kills Samuel, and he like wakes up and he's like, oh my God. And she like has like a knife. She's fully like, he's not safe.
She's fully possessed at this point. She's seeing the Babadook. I do also like the Babadook. Like, you do wholly see him, but it's like, it's quick and it's like fleeting. So it's not like, it's still like, it's, I think for me, just in between like the we never see the spooky thing. And then like, it's more towards the we never see the spooky thing end of the spectrum than the spooky thing is out in the open all the time. And I thought it was very effective because you're like, okay, we have to see it. But then whenever it goes more supernatural, like, you never see it. And then, like, she's watching all these, like, late night infomercials and, like, weird, old-timey cartoons and show shit. And then the Babadook would just, like, pop up in between and shit. And then she's like,
some weird, like, silent film. I'm like, what kind of TV? Y'all got no sitcoms?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this? Like, what channel is this?
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's also, anytime, like, the news is on and it's a murder, it's clearly, like, an American channel. Like an American news.
That was confusing. I was like, why isn't this on in Australia? Like, what's going on? But she does get like one news thing about a woman who kills her son or whatever. But yeah, she's like, she's also like being horrible to Samuel at one point. He like, he's asking for food. He's hungry and she tells him to go eat shit. She's like, he's aware, like, he's very frightened, but like he's very much aware that like this is not my mother, like something is wrong with her. While she's possessed, she breaks Bugsy's neck.
I know. Yeah, she's fully lost it. And lost it possessed.
I was watching this with Hendrix. Hendrix was like sleep next to me, and I just like hugged him, and I was like, no.
Because
he kind of looked like Hendrix if Hendrix was like a white dog. Yeah. Like his like white cousin. Like, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. and the whole time, like, now this is also like the, like, she goes downstairs and like, in like, it, again, like, kind of a dream, kind of not. Cause Sam is like, it's like, you need to wake up. And then she's like, no, you're the one that's sleeping. And he goes downstairs, she goes, and it's, and Oscar's there. And it's just like, you have to, it's like, I thought you were dead. It's like, no, it's like, you just have to bring me the boy. Bring me the boy! And,
and she's like, his name's Samuel.
Yeah. But yeah, so now it's like this.
Like, I would know that I died before I met him.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's like, I just want to hang out with my boy, my son. He needs to know his father.
So now she's like, she tries to kill, she gets fully possessed. Because before she's like a little possessed, and now she's like fully, fully possessed. So she tries to kill Sam, and she's like, oh, you're going to see your dad. And like before that, she had tried to like give him his medicine, and she's like, he's like, he tricks her and doesn't actually take it. So he manages to lure her into the basement, and thanks to all of his little fucking McAllister Home Alone contractions all over the house.
Yeah, except his, I think, are just truly super functional. Whereas he's like, I'm quirky and I'm gonna mess with you guys. He's like, I'm here to fucking murder monsters.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here, I'm gonna fuck you up. Like, I'm gonna fuck my mom up. He stabs her.
Yeah,
like, sorry, mom. Like, stabs her, runs away. And I'm like, oh.
We get fucking Chekhov's tripwire in the basement.
Yes. Chekhov's tripwire. She gets fucking busted. Like, doink, doink, doink.
Yeah.
Like, get your hands up. Y'all ain't learned nothing from Ruby. Get your hands up. She gets busted. He like ties her up like Gulliver's Travels.
Yeah, this kid's survival skill. Like, was he the kid in the hatchet? Like,
no, seriously though, he's like, I am going to survive. Like, he's been waiting for this moment his whole life. These monsters. He's like, I know what I'm gonna do.
To be fair though, she did like he did tie up his mom, but like just to keep her in place on the floor, her hands were still very free.
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid. It's like he could.
He did know. He did like A plus.
In the Navy, okay? Like, this is.
Oh, he became like a fucking general in the Navy SEALs at age 15.
Yeah, so she's able to get away, and as a result, she grabs him and starts to strangle him. And as he's strangling, she's strangling him. He reaches out and he just strokes her face.
This is like this watch around. Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't not see this the first time, but just maybe where I am in life, I was just very hyper aware of Sam the whole time being like, I know you don't love me, but that's okay. This thing is making you hate me, but I love you so much. And I'm like, oh my God.
Truly heartbreaking. Like, I watched, right, I feel like on this watch around, I was very, like, just like sad, just like, oh, this poor baby, like, he's really struggling, and this is just like, no one likes him, everyone's so mean to him. It's just like, oh, Sam.
And not by, you know, like a lot of the, like, right, things being passed down from parents, like with their parenting style, it's not inherently his fault.
No, I mean, he's dealing with a mother who is still very much in the throes of grief. And spoiler, this movie is an allegory, clearly, of grief.
What?
I know, shocking, right? So she starts like throw up this like black vial. And they manage to escape the basement, but then he says, you can't get rid of the Babadook, and this force just like drags him upstairs.
Good old Babs with a Bobs. Baba good old Bobs with the supernatural yank.
Yeah, he's like, yoink, and he just like goes upstairs. And she goes up there to him, and she's trying to hold on to him. And she has to kind of rewatch this vision of her husband's death. And she is able to find the strength to basically scream the shit at Babadook to be like, get the fuck away from you, my son.
Yeah, he was like, and this, I remember, you know, it's like, again, like watching it like 10 years ago, being like, she's coming into it. She's like, I have to face this. But like this, I was more keyed into, because she was like, you are trespassing in this house. You are not welcome here. I was like, it struck me more as ownership of like grief and being like, you're not allowed in here. It's like, I know you exist, but like, you're not allowed in here at this time if I can help it. And I was like, damn, holy shit. Look at you.
Yeah. It's incredibly powerful. And I mean, I know it's kind of played at this point, because like when this came out, I feel like this is at the very beginning when we're having a lot of these kind of like, I guess the ushering in of like, what is it called? Like elevated horror, quote unquote. So like, oh, this is like artistic and more deep than your usual horror, which I feel like is insulting to the genre to assume that like some are just more elevated than others. But it's really excellent. I think it's really well done how, to your point, that is what she's saying, right? She's like taking ownership and acknowledging that this thing is here, but like it can't consume her. And it retreats to the basement and she locks the door.
It's like a hissy fit. I loved it. It's like when the fucking bully in like an 80s comedy or whatever, or sitcom, is just like, the nerd is going like, I'm not gonna take this. I'm standing up to you. And they're like, stop laughing at me. And they just like start crying and run away. I'm like, yeah, fucking get out of here, Babadook.
Yeah, bitch. So it jumps a few days. It's not even like, a couple weeks or something.
Because fucking CPS comes back and they're like having tea. It's like, yeah, do you fix that? You had a spot of that? You good?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, everything's great. And like, she's now, Sam is, they're just open about like, yeah, my dad died on my birthday, but this is my first time celebrating it on the day of my birthday. And they're uncomfortable, but they're not, Amelia and Sam. And they're just like, that's just their reality. It's not, you know, something to suppress or to hide. It's just like, that's just what happened. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is. So they invite their neighbor over for the birthday later on. And they get a bunch of earthworms and she takes to the basement and she feeds the Babadook. The Babadook just lives there now.
And it was like, not, you know, like the kid was like, when can I see? It's like, when you're older. And then, you know, so it's like realistic, right? Like a kid might be aware of a situation in a parent's life and it's like, you'll hear more about it when you're older. And then she has to deal with it and confront it. And she literally soothes it. So then it retreats. And then she comes back up and Sam's like, how was it today? And she was like, you know, it's like, not that bad today. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah, it's so fucking good. I love it. And then just like, it ends with them just in the backyard and he's doing magic for her. And she's like enjoying it. As opposed to before, when she would do it, she'd be kind of annoyed. She's sitting there and just attentive and they're just having a nice little joyous. He does his magic. He like does a little dance after. Like, it's just so sweet.
Yeah, he's so stoked. And I like his last magic trick is turning, first of all, making a coin appear out of nowhere. That's cool. And making it into a dove. And it's like, I know there's practical things. My thing would be like, where'd you get that fucking dove? You're it's, like, that's not like indigenous the to the right. neighborhood. Where'd you get it? Yeah, I'm like, oh shit, the Babadook's a magician too.
Right. It's like, what the fuck? But yeah, he just has, he does this magic and they just, it just ends with them just dealing with it, man. And it's so sweet. I love it.
And I feel it's very, I don't think it at points, maybe you could say like, yeah, heavy-handed grief, we get it. But I think it, like we said, like we've been gushing, so well done. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's heavy-handed. So, I think watching it today, just because I think it's been tread a lot. I think for 2014, it was actually quite good. So I you know, I guess some people might watch it and be like, oh, we get it. Like, but I don't know. I think it was cool. And I think it's very true. As someone who has been dealing with the grief process, I'm like, yeah, you know, some days are better than others. Sometimes, you know, it never actually goes away, but you just kind of, it gets better though with, you know, every day. And I'm like, yeah, you just kind of have to let it. We all have a little Babadook in our little basement.
Yeah, I do.
We all. I like have a little Babadook. We have the earthworms.
I'm looking on the I'm on the Wikipedia, and I like all the people, you know, like that really have like their roles, like Tim Purcell as the Babadook, which, you know, like movie monsters get their due, at least especially nowadays. It's like if you did the thing, you get it. But like fucking Bugsy, Hachi as Bugsy.
Hachi?
Yeah, that's the name of the dog.
I love that.
That's cute. And you know, not to fucking give away the goat, how would this be different if it was a black movie? We wouldn't have gotten to the ending because they would have just kept piling on more grief. It would have actually just been an army of Babadooks.
Oh God. Yeah. A murder this, of Babadooks.
Yeah. To the point where this woman's like, I don't have enough bookshelves for all these different volumes of Babadooks, Bababooks.
All these Bababooks. Also, I feel like we'd be remiss if we don't talk about the meme of the Babadook and how it became a gay icon.
Yeah, I...
Do you remember this?
I remember that just happening and being like, what?
Yeah, it was a while ago.
Because he's misunderstood, right? Or like grief, like something. I don't remember the parallel.
Yeah, but basically it's got queer subtext. And so people kind of like, it started to trend in like 2016, 2017, and like the Babadook became like a gay icon. And apparently like the creator, Jennifer Kent, says she loved the meme, saying that, "I think it's crazy. And the meme just kept him alive. I thought, ah, you bastard. He doesn't want to die. So he's finding ways to become relevant."
Yeah.
I love when, directors have like a good sense of humor about what people just like do with their art. It's just like, yeah, no, the Babadook's gay. And she's like, okay. She's like, yeah, sure, he loves to be relevant, so yeah, of course he's gay now.
Yeah. Sure, Mr. Babadook.
Yeah. Oh man, that's such a great movie. I highly recommend it. I was excited to rewatch it. That was a good watch.
Dear friend and best friend of mine that I had that wedding conversation with this morning, he's one of those fans of the pod that they don't watch horror movies, but they will listen to this and like read the Wikipedia. And I was like, you should try to watch this, man. Like it's good, and it's spooky, but it's not scary. It depends where you are in life.
Yeah, so when I first watched it, I was pretty scared by it. Like, I wasn't now because I've seen it, so I was like, oh, I know, like, what to expect. But, like, it was kind of scary to me. So it might be a little scary, I think, for some of our non, you know, overt horror fans. But I still recommend it. I think it's still a really cool movie.
And if you don't watch it, you're not an ally?
Yes, you're not an ally. You just told us that, like, oh, you have ally fatigue because you're scared of the Babadook. Like, fuck you. Fuck you. Way to center yourself, okay?
Jesus, yeah, truly.
Yeah. Oh my God, but we are making our way through March Madness. Next week, we'll be back on the 18th for The Invisible Man, which I've been meaning to watch for years, and I'm excited to finally get into.
Same.
It's supposed to be pretty good. Watch along with us. Hit us up. I'm keeping that interact thing open on Spotify for our Spotify listeners. So let us know what you think about the episode. Be sure to leave a rating or review. Share the podcast with your friends and your loved ones so they can become a member of the Spooky Squad too. And also give us some suggestions of movies you'd like us to cover. We could find a way to make them work as we go through the rest of the year. You know, we try to plan out ahead the themes, but...
Yeah.
You know, be fun to mix it up.
We like what is this month? Like April? April.
Yeah.
So
We're doing Alien April. So if you guys have any suggestions for like I think we might already have some of them on our list anyway, but if you have any suggestions for like, you know, movies, horror movies with extraterrestrials, space shit, that'd be fun.
Yeah. So let us know. Hit us up. I can't stress that. I think I speak for Sanique and I when y'all send things. I'm like, oh my God, people are listening and react. Like when we, like when you said you asked the question, like, tell us about toys you played with, and someone actually responded, I was like, oh fuck yeah. Yeah. Tell me about that toy. We're bonding.
Yeah. Yeah. In many ways when, oh, someone made a comment once where like, shoot, I can't remember what they said, but you know, whenever we ask, how are you doing? And I'm like, hold on, please. I really want to read this because I've read it and it was so funny to me. They said something along the lines of like, when we ask, how are you doing? They're like, one day you guys asked that and then you said something. I think we said a name, like Dorothy or something. I can't remember doing it. Sorry, please bear with me.
We're bearing.
And they were like, oh my God. It was like, I almost like shit myself because like, you talked back to me, essentially.
Oh, that's sick. That's
funny. Here it is. Here it is. Lizzie hit us up and said, oh my God, please do his house. I think we talked about his house a few weeks ago. So you guys talked about how scary it would be for someone to answer your hellos. On two different episodes, you guys have answered me on something and it freaked me the fuck out. One of them was I sneeze and Sneak said, bless you. And I nearly pooped myself.
That's our goal, to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not shitting yourself while listening to this podcast, then like, I don't know what to tell you.
That's so cool.
Yeah. But before we go, Andrew, do you have any last words?
Yeah. Before I give my traditional last words, I just want to say Gesundheit. And I'm looking out for you, Jeff. That'd be insane if a Jeff was listening to this and sneezed at that moment. I hope that happens.
Yeah, he's definitely sharded.
You know, I'll just, if you have been holding on to something for 6 years, BetterHelp, a mental health platform that provides online mental health services directly to clients. Check it out. Pay us, BetterHelp.
See, now I'm wondering, like, is BetterHelp even good? Like, I feel like it's going to sound like, oh, actually, BetterHelp was canceled. Like,
yeah, if it sucks, don't use it, but get help somewhere.
Yeah, get help. But anyway, thank you all so much for listening, and stay spooky, y'all.
Stay spooky.
Bye-bye.